Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, November the 7th, 2025, 13 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. And the question, Matt, before we went to break was, let's see here. Did that boy with you actually say that good things have happened on immigration? It is all about discrimination, not illegals. How is that good, what ICE agents are doing to people? All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I was simply just saying that illegal immigration numbers are down. Now, I understand that Donald Trump, he himself, is underwater on the immigration policy because of how he's handled it. And, you know, I'm not a fan of how he's handled it either, but again, I'm not a fan of the man himself anyways. Simply, the illegal immigration numbers are down. I'm not supporting however he handles it. And his people aren't even supporting how he handles it. So, there you go.
So, he's not popular for... I said, what is better this November than last? Well, apparently not even illegal immigration.
Well, I mean, it's down. I mean, it's not really an issue I care about all that much, truth be told.
Well, there you go. Okay. Well, one thing I wanted to do this hour, because some people will like this and some people will hate this, but she did announce it yesterday. Nancy Pelosi's retiring after first female, I think the only female ever Speaker of the House. Nancy Pelosi is retiring in January of 2027. She will not seek re-election this coming year to her congressional seat in San Francisco, where she has been, well, when she leaves in 27, will be 40 years she will have been in that position. And she says it's time to go. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, the way the illegal immigration is going on, you better watch going over there to that tanning place and getting your spray tan. Because if ICE comes in town and they see you and you look a little dark to them, they're going to put the cuffs on you and arrest you, take you to their holding center, which ain't going to be in Marion, and you're going to have to fight, you know, to be able to get out of there. They're not going to want to listen to you. Hopefully you got some relatives and stuff that'll speak to you, the politicians, and help get you out of there. That is just wrong. Okay, and another thing I wanted to say, you know, Trump wants to build this ballroom and call it Trump Ballroom. And he's talked about building an arch in Washington, D.C., you know, as a monument to him. That's something Hitler wanted to do but never got it done. But wouldn't it mean more if the people, especially, you know, that doesn't happen normally while you're in office, but after he leaves office, wouldn't it be more that the people was calling for, let's build a monument to Trump because he was so good? I mean, do you think Lincoln fit the bill from the government to build that Lincoln Memorial?
Oh, no.
That was the people thought so highly of.
But Trump has always liked to put his name on things.
But that's just not the way you honor. He wants to honor himself and force it on the people instead of the people wanting to do it because he was such a great president.
Well, I guess we'll see how it all shakes out. Still moving.
If you was running for the Heisman Trophy and you was on the board of the Heisman Trophy, you know, wouldn't that be a little disentageous?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know, but nothing shocks me anymore. So, you know, I just get up and watch it every day.
Yeah, that's what it's coming to anymore.
Yep. Hey, thanks.
Yep.
Yeah, but Nancy Pelosi announced yesterday leaving, and I'm going to play the video that played everybody. She put together a video, so we're going to play that. It is a little long here, about 5 minutes, but, you know, if you're the first and only female Speaker of the House, you probably deserve 5 minutes. So here's what Nancy Pelosi released yesterday, saying she's packing it in after 40 years. Here we go.
Dear San Francisco, we are fortunate to live in the most beautiful, remarkable place on earth. But the true magic of San Francisco, the San Franciscans, was the reason why our city has always been synonymous with the future. Here we don't fear the future, we forge it. From the gold rush to the miracles of science and technology, our city has always been the cradle of innovation, buzzing with optimism and creativity. We are a vibrant and diverse city, home to hardworking families, diligent students, and heroic veterans, and the dreams of entrepreneurs and immigrants. From Chinatown to Japantown, from the Mission to the Fillmore, from Hunters Point to the Castro, North Beach to the Sunset. We are also resilient, experiencing more than our fair share of challenges. When the Loma Prieta earthquake struck, we brought in federal support that ensured we would not just recover, but reimagine the South of Market neighborhood. And of course, HIV/AIDS tested our city to its core. But out of our agony came action. Under the leadership of UCSF and San Francisco General, we pioneered comprehensive community-based care, prevention, and research. That very system served as a model as we wrote the Ryan White Care Act, which still ensures access to life-saving medical care nationwide. Fittingly, our city is home to the National AIDS Memorial Grove, a place of renewal where we remember the loved ones we lost. For decades, I have cherished the privilege of representing our magnificent city in the United States Congress. It seems prophetic now that the slogan of my very first campaign in 1987 was, "A voice that will be heard." And it was you who made those words come true. It was the faith that you had placed in me and the latitude that you had given me that enabled me to shatter the marble ceiling and be the first woman Speaker of the House, whose voice would certainly be heard. It was an historic moment for our country, and it was momentous for our community, empowering me to bring home billions of dollars for our city and our state. With these resources, we have powered enormous progress for healthcare, from the fight against HIV/AIDS to the Affordable Care Act, for transportation, extending BART, electrifying Caltrain, creating the Third Street Light Rail and the Central Subway, and strengthening our iconic Golden Gate Bridge, all creating good-paying jobs. For housing, enabling nonprofits to build affordable, low-income, community-based housing with the Low-Income Housing Tax Credit. For the environment, from protecting clean air and water, to taking action on climate, to transforming the Presidio from a military post to a national park, a model for the nation. Of course, credit for this work also goes to our brothers and sisters in labor, and was also made possible by the entrepreneurial spirit of our private and nonprofit sectors. We can be proud of what we have accomplished, but there's always much more work to be done. Of course, San Francisco's impact is not confined to our city limits. The Affordable Care Act, Wall Street reform, human rights abroad, and so many other priorities all sprang from the vision, values, and voices of San Franciscans. Because of your trust, I was able to represent our city and our country around the world with patriotism and pride. I say to my colleagues in the House all the time, no matter what title they have bestowed upon me, Speaker, Leader, Whip, there has been no greater honor for me than to stand on the House floor and say, I speak for the people of San Francisco. I have truly loved serving as your voice in Congress, and I've always honored the song of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace, the anthem of our city. That is why I want you, my fellow San Franciscans, to be the first to know. I will not be seeking re-election to Congress. With a grateful heart, I look forward to my final year of service as your proud representative. As we go forward, my message to the city I love is this. San Francisco, know your power. We have made history. We have made progress. We have always led the way. And now we must continue to do so by remaining full participants in our democracy and fighting for the American ideals we hold dear. In doing so, we ensure that our city shines on as a beacon of hope, justice, and peace for the country and for generations to come. After all, San Francisco is the greatest city on earth with the most extraordinary people on earth and a place that I will always believe is heaven on earth. Thank you, San Francisco, for trusting me to be your voice in Congress. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
That was the video, Nancy Pelosi retiring after 40 years. What do you think, Matt?
Good video. Interesting time to retire, though.
Well, she's getting on in years.
I know. I mean, she was asked, I think, the other day if she was going to retire, and she wouldn't say, and she got beat over the head for that, and I honestly didn't expect her to.
No, she's a tough lady. And that brought out a lot of interesting, I think that was yesterday that video came out, but it brought out a lot of interesting response from people. You know, people who like her, sad. People who dislike her took it as a chance to goodbye. But I'll tell you, the reason, if you like her or dislike her, she was a tough lady. Tough lady.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she could count votes. That's always good, too.
I mean, there's the time during that State of the Union speech that Trump gave where she did that clap where she stuck her hands out and just did the little tap.
Golf clap.
And then I'll never forget the time where she tore up the paper as soon as the speech was over, tore up the speech and threw it on the table. Boy, that got a lot of talk.
People loved to talk over the head for that, too.
Yeah, but she liked doing it. She knew she was still on camera. She knew. And she knew how to count votes.
Yes.
That's what I always say. These young Democrats, I don't know. I don't think they understand.
Counting votes is a good skill to have.
Well, Nancy Pelosi is also the one who went to Biden privately and said, you got to go.
Yep. I think had Nancy Pelosi not started pushing the man, he might not have left.
No, she had Congress, you know. And the first female Speaker of the House is only one first.
Yeah.
And that'll be her. You have to be tough to be that.
Well, she's been there a while.
40 years.
That's a good time.
So is there a time to go? I guess she feels this is the right time. I think also she sees her party changing. She knows she's in her mid-80s. And that, you know, maybe it's time to go.
It's just it's a rough time to leave, like I said.
I don't think you're going to stop hearing from her.
Oh, well, I mean, no, but I mean, she doesn't have any power now.
She's the only person I ever heard of be called Speaker Emeritus. You know, her party, when she stepped down, gave her that title. Speaker Emeritus, when Hakeem Jeffries became I guess he's not the majority leader, but the minority leader. Nancy Pelosi brings out just about as much feeling in people as Hillary did. There's no middle ground.
I don't know. I think she was okay. I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you much about her, but I was a fan of Hillary. She was good.
So, does anybody got anything to say about Nancy Pelosi hanging it up? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
Who do you think they're going to get to replace her?
You know, her daughter might run.
Oh, I hope her daughter doesn't win.
Well, I don't know.
I just feel like this nepotism. Same thing. Like, if Donald Trump Jr. would have run for something, I'd hope he gets, like, stomped into the dirt.
So, if you're somebody's child, you shouldn't be allowed to run?
Oh, well, I mean... I think just doing it right after your parent left is a little interesting.
She was just always funny to me because the hostility that she brought out in men and Republicans was always funny to me. I mean, they...
Nancy Pelosi?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I used to talk to, somebody about, politics, and he'd always get so angry because it was Donald Trump's first term, and then I remember one time, I don't even remember, it was during the State of the Union speech, and the Republicans are standing up clapping, and then he was like, look at her. So he was convinced that Nancy Pelosi was like staring down all the Democrats, telling them they couldn't clap, not allowed to clap.
Well, it's interesting. Well, we got a message here from one of our listeners out here. Thanks for playing that. Her and Mary Ellen are admirable women. Orange Face calls them evil.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump does, in fact.
Is that really something? I think he has respect for Nancy Pelosi deep down.
Who?
Trump.
I don't know.
I think she comes in there and deals with him. Which she said at one point that, I forget what the quote was, but that I think when she became speaker again, when he was president, they said, well, how are you going to deal with him? And she says, I've dealt with children. And that's kind of how she talked to him. He would go on one of those rants, and she would just stick her finger out there and kind of say, listen.
I don't know. I mean, that's interesting.
I don't know. She brings out a strong... I do believe she got a lot of discrimination because she was a woman. I believe there are a lot of men who just dislike her. If a man had torn up that speech, I don't think it nearly would have been the story that it was that she did it.
Well, I mean, maybe not, but I mean, I don't know. I remember when that happened, people were straight up thinking she was like a felon somehow.
But now it's part of her... It's one of her... high moments.
Yep.
So there you are.
How the tables turn.
Well, it's those moments, I guess, sometimes you go out there on a limb.
Well, she got beat over the head for a minute.
But now people think it was a good moment. I mean, you got to remember, these are the people who laid the groundwork for the current group.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And I think sometimes the current group forgets that.
I don't know how you forget it.
I don't know how they forget it either, but they do.
I mean, they were there when you... I don't understand, but yeah, I mean...
Well, haven't you heard, the old guard's gotta go, we don't want them here anymore, we need... Well, didn't that just happen in New York? Wasn't that the whole campaign?
Well, not necessarily. He beat Cuomo over the head for, all kinds of stuff. Scandals and whatnot.
I don't know why Cuomo wanted to be mayor anyway.
That's one heck of a drop-off.
Anyway, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. So Nancy Pelosi, packing it in after 40 years. But she'll be there through January 27. We should say that. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, it just wasn't men that didn't like Pelosi. I mean, it's amazing... So many women, it doesn't like people like Hillary and Pelosi, and they're not going to like Acton either, hopefully. They vote for Acton, but they don't like a strong, powerful woman. They don't know what it's like, or Mary Ellen, they don't know what it's like to run their household, have children, and be in a position like that, do college, be in go ahead and be in a... Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to be like that. It's fine for a woman that wants to dedicate her time to raising her children. And a child is better when parents really appreciate the children and not have their children in daycare all the time or with a relative.
I'll tell you something, though. Now, this is just my observation. But being around strong men and strong women are two different things. Powerful people in powerful positions. Women can really get it done. And I don't know what that's about. You know, I've gotten to know Mary Ellen, obviously, very well over the years. And even at this age and stage of her life, when Mary Ellen wants to make a point, she makes it.
Yeah.
And nobody really even tries to challenge it. I think that's... I don't think men get that same thing. I don't know. It's a different type of a thing. I think it's a woman makes a stronger point. And I think Mary Ellen has said things that men could not get away with.
Oh, maybe.
So, you know, there is something about a powerful woman. I'll say that.
Yeah, and a lot of women just don't. You know, every time I would talk to, you know, somebody when Hillary was running and stuff, and when I talk to the women, girls, they did not like her. And
I think there's a jealousy factor there. I think there is. You know, it's interesting because I've known, and listen, do whatever you want with your life, but I've known a lot of women who are in my age category that, listen, again, it's okay to choose whatever you want to do with your life, but I think in a way they resent women who did things and got power because they didn't do that. So they almost, like, I remember talking to some people in my life and trying to be very proactive, saying, you know, listen, it's great that you're a mother, it's great that you're a wife, it's great that you're this, it's great that you're that, but I think you could do some really, really good things outside of that. And they almost take that as an insult. And how could that be seen as an insult?
Because
I think
they didn't do it.
Because they didn't do it. That's right. But they take that as an... They don't like hearing that. Because they feel that that demeans the choices that they made. And that's not what that is. I understand the choices you made. You're always going to be a mother. Maybe you'll always be a wife. According to what the paperwork says, day to day, we don't know. But I'm just saying, I think you've got time and potential to do other things, but they don't even want to hear that. I'm content with this, and you don't seem to understand that. Okay, well, whatever.
But it just would be nice, and I think it would be beneficial for the country if there was more women elected. And then, you know, these top positions, you know, with the government, Senate, House, President, Governor, you know, I think things would be better.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. You're young, but have you ever noticed that?
What are we noticing?
Well, did you hear any of that conversation?
Some of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The key to broadcasting is listening.
I was
being
listening.
A good listener. No, but I have given pep talks to people who, not phony pep talks.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we've had the conversation before, I think. I mean,
yeah, but why is that an insult?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of the same thing as telling somebody you should have done this, not that.
No. But that's not it, because I'm not saying you can't undo.
Well, yes, but I understand, but like, That's how they take it.
But why do they take it that way?
They think you're saying you should have done this, not this. Because they think you're critiquing their choices. Critiquing their life, I guess, really.
But that's not true.
I understand.
If I say, Matt, I think you can do this really, really well. Why don't you give it a shot? Is that me saying everything you've done up till that point is bad?
Well, no. But, I mean, the person takes
if I go up to I'm sorry if I go up to a man in my age category and I said, hey, you know what, I think you could do this really well, I think you have a lot of potential, I think you should try that, they are not going to get offended by that. But if I say that to a woman in my age realm, a lot of them will.
I mean, again, I mean, I think it just they probably just take it as you're critiquing their choices.
Yeah, but why is that a gender thing, I guess, is my point.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I think you have time left to do some good things here. Why would that not be a compliment?
I don't know. I mean,
I just stopped telling them.
I couldn't.
You know what I came to realize after a while is those maybe that's where they belong. Maybe they just belong exactly where they are. And if they're happy with that, good for them.
I don't know. I mean, I think if you gotta consistently, let it be known to other people that you're happy, I think you're probably not happy. You're trying to, I don't know. It's just a little weird.
You know, good for them. I don't know. I thought there were a lot of women who, because, you know, in my age category, that's obviously the peers I probably spend the most time with. I think there were a lot of them over the years who were very talented. And I've had to second guess that as time has went on. because the choices that they make seem to be unimaginable to me, and you can't have the conversation with
them.
There
are all kinds of talented people who do stupid things.
Yeah, but you can't say that. Once you say stupid things, they don't like that.
Well, that's what it is, isn't it?
Let's see here.
That's what you're referring to.
One of our listeners out here this morning. It's called conviction. You make me feel like blah, blah. I can't make you feel anything. You just don't like your own reflection in my words. Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think that's right.
What?
The quote here is, it's called conviction. You make me feel like blah, blah. I can't make you feel anything. You don't like your own reflection in my words. That's the point. I think that's right. They don't like what I'm telling them. They don't want to believe that they could be better than that, because that makes them resent their own life. Because if they
could,
because if I'm saying you could have done better and it takes me pointing you out to do that, then you didn't do it on your own. You didn't come up with it. And you somehow feel that that makes you less.
Most ideas in the entire universe are stolen if that's really the issue, is that you didn't come up with the idea.
No, but I think
most people didn't come up with the idea.
I don't give the pep talks as much as I used to now because of that. Because I feel that they take it the wrong way. They just don't. I mean, whether they do it or not, no skin off my nose, but I just try to give them my opinion. And you can.
Oh, you see, that's where you went wrong. You can't give people opinions.
People like to hear compliments, but they don't take that as a compliment.
People like to hear compliments.
How is that not a compliment?
Well, I mean, I think that they're trying to, I guess, say that. Or not say, I guess.
Right, here's this. Now here, from our, this is exactly right. This sums it all up. If what you say is true, it must be my fault. See, that's how they take it. If what I'm saying, if my words are, you can do better, you can do great things, if that's true, it's their fault they didn't do it. And that's brilliant, because that's exactly what they feel.
Well, I think it's, I mean, unless you're always giving 110% in everything you do, which most people do not. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's to some extent your fault you're not doing better. I'm confused by the. Yes, I agree.
Right, but that's not my fault that you feel that way.
Yeah.
I always feel that person's rather inadequate if they feel that way.
I don't think inadequate's the right word there. I think they might be a little.
What is it? You must really feel bad.
Sensitive. They're sensitive people.
Oh, excuse me, he's sensitive. But you don't feel there's an inadequacy there?
Well, I mean, I think they probably feel inadequate, I guess.
Yeah. So what was wrong with that word?
I mean, feeling inadequate and having, you know, an inadequacy is different things.
But I'm not saying you have an inadequacy. You're coming up with that. You think you're inadequate because you think that you didn't live up to your potential. Because if I see that in you, then it must be true. So why didn't you do it? So now you're feeling inadequate. You'll never admit that, but that's true.
Well, I mean, I guess. I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess. But, I don't know. I think that happens to sensitive people.
Well, I don't know if they're all sensitive.
I just don't understand why they're getting upset to begin with at the you know, the phrase of...
Listen,
you know,
I hate to bring this up.
I think you could do good things, and then they take offense to that?
If you look at most of my observations... Now, you can call them criticisms, but I'm going to call them observations.
Okay.
If you look at most of my observations about people, they are, you can do better. You can change this.
Well, everybody could do better.
Okay, yep. But why is that a criticism? Criticisms, to me, are things you can't do anything about. Observations are things you can do better in.
I mean, I don't know. There's a whole, like, I mean, there are, like, you ever heard of a critic? Their whole job is to judge a movie.
Right, but you can make a better movie next time around. You have another shot.
Yeah.
But you can't fix that one.
What? I guess.
But I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying you can do better than that.
Okay.
Isn't that what you do when you put a C on a paper in school? You could get an A. Try it next time.
I don't think that's what a C means. C's just passing. I think D's are passing, aren't they?
Does anybody have anything to say about this? Come on, call in. We'd love to hear voices on this one. 740-383-9944. But people will take things I say far more evil than I mean them. You know, I won't bring it up verbally again, but when I critiqued some personal traits people had, people took that very personally. All I'm saying is, you know, I wouldn't do it. Doesn't look great. Don't do that.
Well, I mean, see, that's...
You can change that.
See, that's why you just don't bother telling people things.
I got a show. I got time to fill. I got 5 hours on Friday morning that I gotta fill. I'm looking for things to talk about. And when you throw something up there like that, I'm sorry, we're gonna talk about it.
I assume they just feel like you're attacking a characteristic trait.
But they can change it. That's it. If you think that I've attacked you and you are now insecure about it, you don't like it, change it.
Don't do that.
Like the other day, yesterday, I was having a conversation with a girl at work. And I said something about your hair, and you weren't around to hear it. And she said, I bet you wouldn't say that to him, and you were just coming out. I said, well, yes, I will. Here he is. And I said it to you. I said, you need to cut your hair. Now, did you cut your hair?
No.
There you go.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, you're not the... I mean, it doesn't really bother me when people tell me to cut my... You're not the first person to tell me to cut my hair. You're certainly not going to be the last person to tell me to cut my hair.
But are you so sensitive that I can't say that?
No, I mean, just add it to the list, I guess.
Do you think we all mean that in a mean-spirited way?
Oh, no, I mean, I think you just think I should get my hair cut.
Exactly. So what's the difference? And you could if you wanted to.
Oh, I gotta go get it trimmed.
There's a barber downtown.
At the very least, I gotta get the dead ends cut off.
I mean, so what is the difference between that and me saying, I think you can do this differently? You could.
I mean, yeah, you could do anything.
You don't have to, but you shouldn't get offended at me for pointing it out.
Well, I mean...
If you're so happy with it, then why is me bringing it up offending you so bad if you think it's such a great choice?
I think if you think it's such a great choice, your response should just be, maybe, but this is better.
Right. There you go. Leave it. You know, don't get upset with me. I know when you're upset that you don't like it. You've obviously, maybe you're being held at gunpoint. I don't know. But there's something about it you know you're insecure about. But you can't get it changed for some reason. So you don't want me pointing it out.
Well, I mean, you'll have that. I mean, I guess if whether that's a bad decision or not, if people perceive they made a bad decision, I think they're inclined to defend it because, I mean, it was their choice.
Well, didn't we have the talk about a year ago? I read somebody's little piece of writing about how the 2024, nothing spectacular had happened. And I took that, but yet, like, the normal things in life made it spectacular, I guess, was what the point of the writing was. And I said to that person, I did not go behind their back, I said, that's kind of sad to me. It seems to me like, you know, you want something spectacular to happen. Oh, no, 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 no. You know, and that took as me critiquing their writing and I missed the whole point. Okay.
Well, yes, but I mean, but you know that particular person.
Oh Lord, that person. God bless her heart.
I mean, I do remember. Oh my God.
You remember that conversation?
Yes, I do.
Yes,
remember that.
And I certainly was not in the wrong.
I just ripped the whole thing off the desk. But no, I mean, I don't think there was anything bad. I mean, it certainly seemed like they were at least somewhat upset with the fact that nothing incredible had happened.
They would tell
happened.
You no. They would tell you absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I mean, I don't know. It just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me to write a whole thing about how nothing significant happened. I don't know. It seems almost like you're trying to convince yourself that...
That's what I said. But you're wrong. You're wrong. What it was it's okay to be excited with the little things.
Well, that's not wrong.
No, it's not wrong. But people who... I pointed out, people
but
who...
It's not like an either-or thing. It's not like you can have only big
exactly.
things or the small
that's
things.
That's what I said.
The small things are always going to be there.
I pointed out that people who do big things also do small things.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an either-or, so...
You know, people who you know, speak in front of 50,000 people still go to the beach. They can still look at the sunset. I don't get it. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, how long have you had long hair? How many years?
Well, I think this is going on 3 years of not getting it cut.
Okay. So you've had short hair before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had short hair for the longest time. I mean, it would get long, but it had never been this long. This is the longest it's been.
But when you have short hair, it's much easier. Do you really take care of your long hair?
No.
Do stuff with it?
No.
Then, you see, you really shouldn't have long hair. Okay?
Here comes another one.
If you have long hair and you're taking care of it and you do things with it, that's great. You know, and it looks nice and I can, you know, be, well, this guy... He takes care of his hair, but when you see a bushy, long-haired person that don't take care of it, I mean, you'd be surprised how much easier, if you wash your hair's dry shortly after. If you take a shower in the mornings, and in this kind of weather, it makes it a lot easier that give it, you know, 20 minutes, and your hair is pretty dry.
Well, you've seen the television show, haven't you? You've seen the hair.
Yeah, what I've seen his hair, yeah.
What do you think?
He doesn't do a good job of taking care of
it. There you go, see?
But, you know, and you talk about, you know, I deal with that problem, too. You was talking about, I'm 64 years old. I've never really done nothing with my life. You know what I'm saying? You know what?
Well, as far as what? What do you think you've missed?
Well, I've never made great money. You know, I've
money's not important.
I've never had jobs of anything specifically. I've never had no kids.
Well, but did you have a good time?
Well. I guess for me it was a good time.
Then that's all that matters.
Run the bars, and I've never been a person that was always worried about having a girlfriend all the time.
Yeah, but you're not a dumb person. I mean, we can tell that, but look what you're listening to here. That right there makes you half genius. So the point is that you've stayed engaged. You've stayed involved. Your mind is working fine. You're still participating. You care about what happens in this country. So... You know, that's good enough. I mean, that's better than a lot of 64-year-olds.
Well, I guess you're right there, but, you know, I just feel that way so much. I can't get around very good and do anything, just like that thing Saturday at that church. You know, I can't go to it by myself. I wouldn't have anybody that could take me over there. If I went over there, I couldn't stand a real long time to get the food or... It just is a little bit depressing, but
Well, call the church. I'm sure they do delivery.
I thought about that. I don't know. But
give them a call. Leave it on the answering machine.
You know, I think, Matt, you'd be better off to cut your hair if you don't want to take care of it and do things with it.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay, later.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, see, another critic comes on in.
See, like, I get things like that, but yesterday at work, one of the people, because I was talking about how I actually was thinking about getting my hair cut, and they were like, why would you get your hair cut? You know how much money I'd pay to have hair like yours?
Oh, who said that? They're blind.
No, they're bald.
Oh, well, there you go. Who said that? Who was it?
One of the deli people.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. Well, bald person, sure.
There you go.
But do you recognize the problem?
I don't know. I mean, I guess. I don't know.
You know there have been guests on the show who have said to me, before we start rolling the tape, does he have a comb? You know that's happened.
Well, yeah.
They're just trying to help you.
I understand.
That's all.
Well, I'm not upset by it. I just haven't got my hair cut.
See, but you don't seem upset about this, so why when I tell the other people things like this, do, oh my God, you're critiquing my life, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. I mean, it's your life.
Exactly. If you truly are happy doing what you're doing, do it.
Yeah, I mean.
But I happen to think you could do better.
So, I mean, that's about it.
I don't understand why my opinion is that important to you anyway.
I don't know. I guess they take your word for high regard.
Well, yeah, but okay, then do something. Again, I'm not saying you can't do it.
Well,
do
I
it.
Assume they take their word in higher regard.
See, here's the thing people don't understand. Like Nancy Pelosi, which is where this conversation started. Nancy Pelosi's a wife. Nancy Pelosi's a mother. Nancy Pelosi's a grandmother. But what are people going to remember her for? First female Speaker of the House. They're going to remember her for tearing up that speech behind Donald Trump because that's her public life. And that is something, she's the only person to my knowledge who's done that. First female Speaker of the House. Nobody's ever going to do that again. She's the only female Speaker of the House at this point. 250-year history of this country. Now, that's fine that she had kids, and it's fine that she got married, but her along with millions of other people have done those things, so they're not as unique. That's the difference. Nothing wrong with those things, but they're not as unique. They're just not going to be... I don't think people... See, I think people who do those things think that they've got the secret and you don't. That you living a somewhat public life... That they've actually got it right, and you've got it wrong.
Well, I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do it.
No, but I think they do believe that. I think when you critique them for that and saying, hey, you know, you could be out there changing the world, they think, well, you know, I already have. I've had the kids, and I've had the husband, and I've had the wife. Well, yeah, you and millions of other people. I don't know that that changed anything. But...
Well, the population's going up. You're certainly
you're increasing the population. But nobody's going to write that in a book. And then you say, well, I don't care about being written in a book. Well, to me, now you're just starting to get defensive then. Because you think I can't see through your eyes, but you certainly can't see through mine. And I think that's a double standard.
What? You?
Because their response would be, well, you don't understand what it's like to base your life in this. Well, kids and family.
You've never had kids.
Right. So, right. So how could I? I couldn't know. But I was somebody's kid.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing.
Well, I saw the pleasure they took in that.
Okay. It's not the same thing.
Well, I mean, okay, have more people had kids or have more people been the first female Speaker of the House?
Well, I mean...
Exactly. Which is the harder to relate to?
There's only 192 countries, and I think there's only... I think our democracy is not built like any of the other democracies.
I think people are scared to go out and experience that because they're afraid that they'll realize that what they've done is not exactly the hype.
I think it's more of like a fear of failure. Like, what if you... Yeah. What if you wrote a book or something, published a book, and then everybody just bashes you because it's the dumbest thing they've ever read?
Exactly.
Now you have to live with that.
Yeah. But also, you can't realize what Nancy Pelosi had to go through. You know, I mean, to stand up there with that gavel the first time, knowing you're the first woman Speaker of the House in the 250-year history of this career, can you imagine what she felt? I mean, you think she doesn't put that up there with kids and husband?
Well, I'm sure it's I don't know. I've never had kids nor been married, but I would say that it's probably a better feeling.
There you go.
Than having kids and a husband.
And which are you going to say is the most unique feeling?
Well, I mean, nobody else can ever have that feeling.
There, and that's why it's different.
I mean, I guess there can be another first, but just can't have that one again.
Right. So that's the whole point. But I always think that they believe that you can't understand them because you can't relate to their life. But I think the truth really is that they can't relate to yours.
I think that's probably true.
Because, you know, if I wanted to have kids, I probably could have. If I wanted to get married, I probably could have.
Well,
if they wanted to do what I did,
it's not.
I don't know.
It's not real hard to have kids.
That's what I'm saying.
People have kids.
Right.
That's how easy it is.
That's how easy it is. That's right. But going the other direction, it's a little more difficult. You actually got to put something into that.
Yeah.
That's right. So that's where it's not relatable.
I'm sure they've put work into something in their life.
Yeah, but did it matter?
I'm sure it did to them if they were putting work into it.
We'll be back after this.
Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism.